Hey, my name is Dustin, and I want to welcome you to episode 32 of Secret Grasp, a paranormal podcast about strange and mysterious parts of our world. Today, I want to talk about the Bermuda Triangle, which is also sometimes referred to as the Devil's Triangle. And this is basically like an urban legend about this area in the North Atlantic Ocean, where there's a number of aircraft and boats that have gone missing over the years. The exact dimensions and location of the triangle can vary, but I think the general consensus is that it stretches from Miami to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and then to the island of Bermuda. But the total area, depending who you do ask, it can vary from 1.3 to 3.9 million kilometers squared, which is 500,000 to 1.5 million square miles. Some people even stretch the one corner of the triangle all the way to the Irish coast. So the origins of the Bermuda Triangle. One of the earliest suggestions that there was some kind of mysterious disappearances going on in the Bermuda area was reported in September 17th, 1950. It was an article that was published in the Miami Herald. 2 years later, there was a magazine called Fate Magazine. They published an article called Sea Mystery at Our Back Door, which basically covered the fact that a bunch of ships and planes were going missing in the area that's now associated with the Bermuda Triangle. Especially, they focused on Flight 19, which it was a group of five U.S. Navy torpedo bombers on a training mission. I'll go into more detail about that towards the end, about all the notable missing things that have gone missing in the Bermuda Triangle. So there's a whole bunch of kind of explanations of hypothetically how the Bermuda Triangle would work and why things are going missing there. So let's talk about some of those. So we've got paranormal explanations, and then we've got a bunch of natural explanations. So, of course, paranormal podcast, let's start off talking about the paranormal explanations. So there's a whole bunch of like supernatural things that people have conceived of to explain why so many things go missing in the Bermuda Triangle. One of the earliest and most prominent paranormal explanations is the lost continent of Atlantis. There's a rock formation called the Bimini Road. It's off the island of Bimini in the Bahamas, where some people think that that's where Atlantis is. The psychic Edgar Cayce gave a prediction that Atlantis would be found in 1968, and that's when they discovered this Bimini Road. So his believers think that this formation could be a road, a wall, or some other structure that was originally part of the lost city of Atlantis. But scientists say that the Bimini Road is actually just a natural structure that occurs under the ocean. Some people say that perhaps there's some kind of like a parallel universe or a gateway to a parallel universe that exists within the Bermuda Triangle. So there's some kind of like a time and space warp that sucks planes and boats into a parallel universe. Other people attribute it to UFOs. Now they're called UAP. Everything's changing with UFOs. So now they're called UAPs, Universal Aerial Phenomenon. But then there's also USOs, which is Unidentified Submerged Objects. And some people say that UFOs can go between the air and the water. So maybe there's like a secret alien base under the Bermuda Triangle. But yeah, we can talk about some of the natural explanations as well. So the first is compass variations. So what a lot of people don't know is that on a compass, you've got magnetic north and true north. And there's only a few places on Earth that those are the same. One of them runs from Wisconsin to the Gulf of Mexico. But yeah, in an area as large as the Bermuda Triangle, north on your compass will actually naturally change as you cross it. So if a pilot wasn't accounting for that, they could potentially get lost or get off their bearings, and that could be why ships and planes are going missing there. Another possible reason is the Gulf Stream. So the Gulf Stream it's basically like a river within the ocean. It kind of carries floating objects. It has a maximum velocity of about 2 meters per second, which is 6.6 feet per second, which is pretty fast for water flowing. So if a boat had like engine trouble or something, or if a small plane made like a water landing, it could easily get carried away. It's kind of like a really fast moving current that just kind of flows through the ocean in the middle of it for seemingly no reason. I'm sure there's a scientific reason for it. But yeah, probably the most common explanation that people give for why stuff goes missing in the Bermuda Triangle is obviously just human error. So yeah, human, either like stubbornness, people think they know where they're going and they just ignore what their sensors and stuff say or whatever. So that kind of is a general catch-all for people screwing up. And we've got violent weather. So there's like hurricanes and lots of storms that pass through the Bermuda Triangle. And historically, hurricanes and storms in tropical waters have cost thousands of lives and billions of dollars in damage. The sinking of the Francisco de Bobadilla Spanish fleet in 1502 was the first recorded instance of a destructive hurricane. And these storms, there's like a lot of incidents of them happening within the Bermuda Triangle. It's not that out of the ordinary to get big storms that suddenly come up there. And a powerful downdraft of cold air was specifically suspected to cause the sinking of what's called the Pride of Baltimore on May 14th, 1986. The crew of the sunken vessel noted that the wind had suddenly changed in increased velocity from 32 kilometers an hour or 20 miles per hour to 97 all the way up to 145 kilometers an hour, which is between 60 and 90 miles per hour. The National Hurricane Center satellite specialist at the time said, during very unstable weather conditions, the downburst of cold air from aloft can hit the surface like a bomb, exploding outwards like a giant squall line of wind and water. There was a similar event that occurred to a ship called the Concordia in 2012 off the coast of Brazil. And scientists are currently investigating something called hexagonal clouds that may be the source of some of these, like, they refer to them as air bombs, which are basically like a huge sudden gust of wind that goes down and makes a huge squall in the ocean. Next, we've got methane hydrates. These are sometimes referred to as mud volcanoes. This is kind of like a worldwide phenomenon that happens where there's gases that naturally get released from the bottom of the ocean. This could explain some of the disappearances, especially of ships, if there's methane hydrants, which is, it's a form of natural gas that happens on the continental shelf under the ocean. In Australia, some scientists actually proved that air bubbles can sink a ship. Basically, they had a model ship in a whatever kind of container of water, and it was like a scale model of a ship, and then they blew bubbles up underneath, and they proved that the bubbles could reduce the density of the water so much that the ship would sink. It makes like frothy water on the top of the water, and then the ship doesn't have enough buoyancy to stay up, and then it gets like sucked under and can rapidly sink without any warning, really. But according to the USGS, I don't know what that stands for, but basically it's not believed that there's any gas hydrates that are actually in the Bermuda Triangle region for the last 15,000 years. So that one, and they could be there, but apparently they haven't discovered any of these bubbling things coming up there. But that is something that can sink ships. Don't know if that applies to the aircraft. Maybe it could cause like weird drafts in the air as well. But we can talk about some notable incidents that have happened in the Bermuda Triangle over the years. So most of these, I got the cases from Wikipedia, so I'm just going to read these out. The first one is the HMS Atalanta. Not the Atlanta, but the Atalanta. This is a sail training ship. It was originally named the HMS Juno, and it disappeared with the entire crew after setting sail from the Royal Navy Dockyard in Bermuda for Falmouth, England, on the 31st of January, 1880. It was presumed that the ship sank in a powerful storm while crossing the ocean, basically. The crew was comprised mostly of inexperienced trainees, which might have been a contributing factor, like we talked about human error earlier. And the search for the ship got worldwide attention at the time, but yeah, it was never found. And next we've got the USS Cyclops, another, it's named after a cryptid. You know what a Cyclops is? One-eyed kind of giant kind of thing, but yeah, this incident, it was the single largest loss of life in the history of the US Navy not related to combat. So it was full of manganese ore. I don't know why a Navy ship would be carrying manganese ore, but it was. It had one engine out of action at the time, and then it went missing without a trace with a crew of 309 people sometime after March 4th, 1918, after departing the island of Barbados. Although there's no strong evidence for any single reason why it disappeared, many different theories exist, including storms, capsizing. Some suggest that a wartime enemy even like intentionally sank the ship. In addition, two of the Cyclops' sister ships, Proteus and Nereus, were subsequently lost in the North Atlantic during World War II. Both ships were transporting heavy loads of metallic ore, similar to that which was loaded on the Cyclops during her fatal voyage. In all three cases, structural failure due to overloading with much denser cargo than designed is considered the most likely cause of the sinking. It's also interesting that they all had magnetic ore, too. It kind of makes you wonder if having that much ore on your ship can mess with the compass or stuff like that, just your instrumentation. Okay, next is the Carol A. Deering. So this is a schooner. I believe a schooner is like a type of sailing vessel. This set off from Cape Lookout. Oh, a scene from the Cape Lookout light vessel on January 29th, 1921, 2 days before it was found deserted in North Carolina by the U.S. Coast Guard. The Carol A. Deering was a five-masted schooner built in 1919, and it was found hard aground, which I guess means like super washed up on the beach, and abandoned at Diamond Shoals near Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. An FBI investigation found and then ruled out multiple theories as to why and how the ship was abandoned, including piracy, domestic communist sabotage, and involvement of rum runners. And we've got Flight 19. This is one that I mentioned. One of the earliest kind of articles that was written about the Bermuda Triangle was about Flight 19. So this was a training flight of five TBM Avenger torpedo bombers that disappeared on December 5th, 1945, while over the Atlantic. The squadron's flight plan was scheduled to take them due east from Fort Lauderdale for 141 miles, north for 73 miles, and then back over a final 140-mile leg to complete the exercise. The flight never returned to base. The disappearance was attributed by Navy investigators to navigational error, leading to the aircraft running out of fuel. One of the search and rescue aircraft deployed to look for them, the PBM Mariner with a 13-man crew, also disappeared. A tanker off the coast of Florida reported seeing an explosion and observing a widespread oil slick when fruitlessly searching for survivors. The weather was becoming stormy at the end of the incident. According to contemporaneous sources, the Mariner had a history of explosions due to vapor leaks when heavily loaded with fuel, as it might have been a potentially long search and rescue operation. How does a ship have a history of explosions? That's what interests me. It is like, how do you allow a ship to explode multiple times, and how does that do that without sinking? I don't know. Okay, we got the Star Tiger and Star Ariel. These are planes that went missing January 30th, 1948. They're going from the Azores to Bermuda. And then the other one disappeared on a flight from Bermuda to Kingston, Jamaica. Both were Avro Tudor 4 passenger aircraft operated by British South American Airways. Both planes were operating at the very limits of their range, and the slightest error or fault in equipment could keep them from reaching a small island. So that makes it seem like they just kind of ran out of fuel. The Douglas DC-3. This is an aircraft that disappeared while on flight from San Juan, Puerto Rico to Miami on December 28, 1948. No trace of the aircraft or the 32 people on board was ever found. A Civil Aeronautics Board investigation found that there was insufficient information available on which to determine probable cause of the disappearance. Got the Connemara 4. Apparently, don't put the number 4 in your plane or boat name if you don't want them to disappear. But this was a pleasure yacht that was found adrift in the Atlantic Ocean of Bermuda on September 26, 1955. It's usually stated in the stories that the crew vanished while the yacht survived being at sea during three hurricanes. The 1955 Atlantic hurricane season shows Hurricane Ione passing nearby between the 14th and 18th of September, with Bermuda being affected by winds of almost gale force. In his second book on the Bermuda Triangle, Winner, I don't know who that is, but he's quoted from a letter he had received from the Chancellor of Barbados. On the morning of September 22nd, Connemara 4 was lying to a heavy mooring in the open roadstead of Carlisle Bay. I'm sure if you do boat stuff, maybe these words mean something to you. They don't to me. Because of the approaching hurricane, the owner strengthened the mooring ropes and put out two additional anchors. There was little else he could do, as the exposed mooring was the only available anchorage. In Carlisle Bay, the sea in the wake of Hurricane Janet was awe-inspiring and dangerous. The owner of the Connemara 4 observed that she had disappeared. An investigation revealed she had dragged her moorings and gone to sea, which I guess means that, like, so they knew that a big storm was coming. They threw down every anchor that they had, and the storm just kind of dragged the anchors out until it was in the water where it couldn't touch the bottom anymore. That's my understanding of that. Okay, then we've got the KC-135 Stratotankers. So on August 28th, 1963, a pair of U.S. Air Force KC-135 Stratotanker aircraft collided and crashed into the Atlantic 300 miles west of Bermuda. Some people say that while the two aircraft did collide, there was two distinct crash sites separated by over 160 miles, 260 kilometers of water. However, research showed that the unclassified version of the Air Force investigation report revealed that the debris field defining the second crash site was examined by a search and rescue ship and found to actually be a mass of seaweed and driftwood tangled in an old buoy. So I guess there was one crash site, and then they confused a bunch of seaweed for being a second crash site, because great investigation skills. So what are some of the criticisms that people have about the Bermuda Triangle? So the first one is that the number of ships and aircraft that are reported missing in the area aren't significantly greater, proportionally speaking, than in any other area of the ocean. In a area frequented by tropical cyclones, the number of disappearances that did occur were, for the most part, neither disproportionate, unlikely, nor mysterious. Furthermore, people that kind of wrote about these disappearances usually fail to mention these storms. They just kind of represent the disappearances as having happened in completely calm conditions, when meteorological records show that there's clearly like a contradiction. So most of the disappearances do tend to come when there's big storms and stuff. The numbers themselves have been exaggerated by sloppy research. A boat's disappearance, for example, would have been reported, but its eventual, if belated, return to port may not have been. So, yeah, there's more reports of missing boats, and then they don't ever kind of verify if the ship ever showed up or not. Some disappearances had, in fact, never happened. One plane crash was said to have taken place in 1937 off Daytona Beach, Florida, in front of hundreds of witnesses. A check of the local papers revealed nothing. Legend of the Bermuda Triangle is a manufactured mystery. People say that it's perpetuated by writers who either purposely or unknowingly made use of misconceptions, faulty reasoning, and sensationalism. Of course, there is kind of like a profit motive, I guess, that you want to publish crazy mystery stories. And then the last thing is, in a 2013 study, the Worldwide Fund for Nature identified the world's 10 most dangerous waters for shipping, but the Bermuda Triangle was not among them. And then to finish up, we can talk about some kind of like related things that are kind of like the Bermuda Triangle, but their own separate things. So first is Hurricane Alley. So this is an area of warm water in the Atlantic Ocean that stretches from the west coast of Northern Africa to the east coast of Central America and the Gulf Coast of the Southern United States. So there's a lot of hurricanes that form in this area. The sea surface temperature in the Atlantic in Hurricane Alley is slightly warmer in the past decades. Particularly warm summer in 2005 led climate scientists to begin studying whether this trend would lead to an increase in hurricane activity. We've got the Sargasso Sea. This is a region in the Atlantic Ocean bounded by four currents, so they kind of all jive together and like form one big swirl, I guess, in the middle. Unlike other regions called seas, this one has no land boundaries and is distinguished from other parts of the Atlantic Ocean by its characteristic brown sargassum seaweed and often calm blue water. So the boundary of the sea is, on the west there's a Gulf Stream, on the north there's a North Atlantic Current, on the east there's the Canary Current, and on the south there's the North Atlantic Equatorial Current. And the four together form a clockwise circulating system of ocean currents termed the North Atlantic Gyre. And Bermuda is kind of near the western fringes of where this area is. All the currents in this like gyre, they deposit a lot of marine plants and garbage that kind of gets in this area of the sea and just kind of swirls around. But the ocean water is super blue and clear despite all this kind of garbage. And there's underwater visibility of up to 200 feet in the area. It's also a body of water that's captured the public imagination, so it's seen in a wide variety of literary and artistic works and popular culture. And then we've got an area near Japan called the Devil's Sea. It's also known as the Devil's Triangle, which coincidentally, so is the Bermuda Triangle. Apparently, the devil likes to make water triangles all over the world. They also call it the Dragon's Triangle or the Formosa Triangle or the Pacific Bermuda Triangle. And it's an area south of Tokyo, sometimes considered a paranormal location. Although, just like the real Bermuda Triangle, there's some debate if it's just like a natural thing. And then we've got something called the Nevada Triangle. This one's actually on land, but there's a large number of airplanes that have crashed in the Sierra Nevada region, mostly due to the kind of like complicated weather and atmospheric conditions. Because of the mountains and things, I guess, there's downdrafts and microbursts. There's a portion of the area where there's like a triangle. It goes from Reno, Nevada to Fresno, California, and then Las Vegas, Nevada. That's what they refer to as the Nevada Triangle. Some counts put the number of crashes in the triangle at 2,000, including a millionaire and record-breaking flyer, Steve Fawcett. There's hypothesis that the crashes are related in some way to the U.S. Air Force Area 51 or to, like, aliens, but there's no real evidence to kind of support those claims. The climate of Sierra Nevada is influenced by the Mediterranean climate of California. During the fall and winter and spring, the precipitation reaches 20 to 80 inches, where it occurs mostly as snow above 6,000 feet. So on most summer days, the area is super dry, but there's afternoon thunderstorms that are common, particularly during the North American monsoon in mid to late summer. Some of these thunderstorms drop over an inch of rain in a short period, and the lightning can start fires. So that is all of the nice stuff that I want to talk about the Bermuda Triangle for today. So if you made it this far, it'd be cool if you could like the podcast. That way you will find out right away as soon as new episodes come out, and it's totally free. And if you're on YouTube, go ahead and leave a like and leave me a comment and let me know what you think about the Bermuda Triangle. Is it something that is paranormal in nature, or do you think there's a natural explanation for it? But anyways, in the next episode, don't know what I'm going to talk about yet. We'll see. But yeah, stay in touch, and we will see you in the next one.